From the KTOO newsroom, I'm Pablo Arauz Peña with your state and local news update. The recovery effort in Haines continues after heavy flooding and mudslides this week. Britt Tonneson is the disaster program manager for the Red Cross in Southeast Alaska. She says there are continued evacuations with ongoing heavy rain in the region.
On the ground right now, there are continued evacuations. There are people in different shelters throughout the community, either supported through the Red Cross at hotels or what we call non-congregate sheltering. There is some congregate sheltering being opened for overflow at some of the local churches and the schools.
Tonneson says the greatest needs in Haines are shelter and mental health assistance. There's a shortage of rooms available in hotels around town. She says the COVID-19 pandemic is another important concern for responders. Tonneson says they're being tested immediately upon arrival.
So just being these compassionate hearts that want to help, maybe slowing down and making sure that paying attention where there's need. Right.
Tonneson also says the Red Cross is there to support anyone who has been impacted by the storms throughout Southeast Alaska. And heavy precipitation, mudslides, and flooding have damaged infrastructure across the Haynesboro over the past week. KHNS's Henry Leisha reports on the latest efforts to protect roads and the water supply, as well as the electrical grid.
Landslides, floods, and sinkholes have closed more roads than can be counted. The Haynesboro's Public Works Department has been working to get roads opened up, but the risk of more debris coming downhill is making it difficult to impossible. The State Department of Transportation is responsible for clearing the Haynes Highway and Lutac Road. Haynes Public Facilities Director Ed Coughlin says residents living along Lutac Road have struggled to access town.
You know, pretty significant slide across the road. They, as of yesterday afternoon, I know that they had a little path cut through there. But I would not travel on that road unless it was absolute emergency.
Heavy snowfall early in the week caused Alaska Power and Telephone to switch the Haynesboro's main electrical supply from hydropower to a diesel generator. That had local officials worried because the generator relies on regular fuel deliveries, and there have been numerous mudslides along the road to the freight dock. Now the town is back on hydro, but according to Haynes Power Operations Manager Lance Caldwell, there are outlying areas that have been without power for several days.
I'm going to venture to say there's probably 40 homes at the current time out Lutac and the opposite side of the slide at Beach Road that currently do not have power. And some of those areas are too dangerous and haven't been evaluated well enough yet to allow crews in those areas to even assess or think about making a plan to return power.
Numerous homes have been evacuated due to the risk of landslides. Caldwell says it is recommended that residents turn off the main electrical breaker in their homes in the event of an evacuation.
If you don't turn it off and you have a slide or a flood and it trips things off, it could eventually trip a whole feeder off and we could lose a quarter of town all over that one service.
The landslides have also compromised the town's water and sewage systems. Public Facilities Director Coughlin says that his staff have been unable to access one of the town's water treatment plants off of Piedad Road.
We need to be able to continue to supply chemicals, particularly chlorine, to it. And so we're thinking that we may have to shut that plant down. Either that or we would have to go on to a boiler order for the entire town. So likely we're going to shut that plant down soon.
Coughlin says if they have to shut off the Piedad plant, there is still an adequate supply of water from the Lily Lake Reservoir. Meanwhile, the town's sewage system has been inundated with water and debris.
We have a vacuum truck that's arriving today, which we're going to be using to clean the manholes out, to get the rock out, and get as much out as we can. So that's just an ongoing effort with that.
Coughlin says he has received calls from about 50 residents volunteering to assist the Public Works Department, but he has not had time to manage them. A system for organizing Public Works volunteers is being developed. In Haines, I'm Henry Leisha.
Most property in Southeast Alaska probably isn't insured against flood and slide damage from this week's storm. Scott Vanhoff is one of the Federal Emergency Management Agency's flood insurance experts for Alaska. Vanhoff says FEMA sees storm events like this all over the West Coast.
They often result in a combination of floods, mud flows, and landslides, often all happen in various locations from the same event.
While the soaking rains may be the primary trigger, he says property insurance policies usually distinguish between floods, mudflows, and landslides. Vanhoff says mudflows are usually covered by flood policies. Mudflows can have the consistency of a milkshake and typically leave houses wet and muddy, but intact. If a lot of debris like trees and boulders are moving, that's probably a landslide, at least according to an insurance adjuster, or it could even be an earthquake.
I know a lot of Alaskans are very familiar with earthquake policies and have them. And they read the definitions of that policy, you'll see that it's often referred to as an earth movement policy. So oftentimes those kind of policies will cover landslides as well as an earthquake. So even a landslide triggered by rain and not triggered by an earthquake might be covered.
Vanhoff says... Vanhoff cautions that these are generalizations. There are a lot of variations from policy to policy, and that's if you have earthquake and flood coverage. They are usually separate additions to regular property insurance. To get federally insured mortgages in some flood-prone areas, you have to get flood insurance, but Vanhoff says most properties even in these areas, don't have a flood insurance.
If you take the total number of structures that exist in flood zones and flood hazard zones in Southeast Alaska, and then look at the number of flood policies we have in those areas, it's quite low. It's like less than 20%.
Vanhoff says those mapped flood zones are very conservative estimates of risk.
Reality, flood risk exists just about everywhere. And sometimes, it comes at you from an unexpected direction. And these kinds of rain events, it's where we see those floods occurring in unexpected areas, areas not even in a FEMA mapped flood zone. Flood insurance is a pretty good investment, I think, when you live in most places in Southeast Alaska.
Insurance aside, if the president declares a disaster that would bring a lot of FEMA resources to bear, it could mean federal grants or loans for repairing public infrastructure and direct assistance to small businesses and individuals. Presidential disaster declarations usually come after a governor requests one. Governor Mike Dunleavy declared a state disaster in hard-hit Haines on Thursday afternoon. A spokesperson for the governor's office says the state has what it needs for the immediate response, but may call for a federal disaster declaration later to support the recovery. And the very first COVID-19 vaccine doses may arrive in Alaska before the month is out, but there will be very little of it, and logistics to distribute it are not easy. The state's COVID-19 vaccine task force has been working on the rollout since October and yesterday shared the plan with hospitals, doctors, and pharmacists across the state. KUAC's Robin reports.
500 people were on a call Thursday afternoon to talk about distributing COVID-19 vaccines in Alaska.
We likely won't see vaccine within Alaska until sometime mid-December, and we'll hope to start vaccinating soon after the vaccine arrives in Alaska.
Dr. Tessa Walker-Linderman is a lead for the Alaska COVID-19 Vaccination Task Force. She reviewed a timeline for federal approval of the developing vaccines from big pharmaceutical companies. Pfizer submitted its application to the FDA on November 20th and is expecting Food and Drug Administration emergency approval in a week. Moderna submitted its application on Monday earlier this week and will likely get emergency authorization a week after Pfizer.
And we've been told to anticipate regular shipments, even on a weekly basis, of both Moderna and Pfizer going forward.
On Tuesday, the Federal Advisory Committee on Immunization Practices, or ACIP, met to outline priorities for who would get the vaccine first. Sandra LeClaire is the deputy lead for the task force. She says the first group gets doses in phase 1A.
In the initial phase 1A, it should be offered to healthcare personnel and residents of long-term care facilities.
Dr. Linderman told providers they should expect a fast expansion through the spring.
If a certain group is not prioritized in phase 1A week one, there will be week two and week three and week four and so on. We will be just continually opening up the prioritization as we receive more.
Other pharmaceutical companies may get approval in 2021, and Alaska will get those vaccine doses from them as they become available. The medicine will come by airplane to Anchorage, then distributed, possibly, right at the airport.
Alaska has an existing system to get vaccines from the manufacturer all the way to the rural parts of our state.
Matt Bobo with Public Health's Section of Epidemiology says the state will do a practice run to test adding more distribution points to the network.
This will be a heavier lift. There are more providers enrolled with the Pfizer vaccine. We did do a TEPS shipment from the manufacturer to Anchorage, and it arrived safely. It actually came today. And so we'll be doing some test shipments with providers that we don't usually ship to, just to kind of get folks just used to the practice.
Alaska's allocation process will not include military service members who will be vaccinated separately through a federal allocation. The Division of Public Health is daily updating the Vaccine Distribution Program website at covidvax.alaska.gov. In Fairbanks, I'm Robin.